Elohi Avraham, Elohi Yitzhak, Elohi Yaakov, Hashem Yeshua Mishkenu, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, in the name of you, Yeshua, our Messiah, we come before you. Abba, we ask you to speak to our hearts, to change our lives, to encourage us by your scripture. Abba, that you would impart to us, Lord, a new measure of faith. Abba, that we would walk with you just like the ancients did, God. Abba, that we would walk with you and hear your voice and know you. Father, that we would be close to you and closer than ever before. In these, Lord, perilous times that we live in, Abba, that you would draw near to us as we draw near to you. And we ask you, B'Shem Yeshua, God's people said, Amen. So, how is everyone doing today? Good. Can't you tell that spring is trying to break through a little bit, right? It's trying. It's had a couple of cold days, but it seems as though spring's trying to get through to us, and we'll get into some warm weather. Today we're starting a new series entitled Heroes of Faith. In this series, we'll be looking at heroes found in the scriptures to inspire us to live out our lives of faith in our generation. Amen? We will be looking at the lives of heroes from both the Tanakh and the Brit Chadashah. Some of the people will be very familiar to us, and some not as well known. But they are all heroes that changed the landscape of their generation and beyond. You and I are reaping the fruits of their faith. These men and women were used by God to see his kingdom purposes fulfilled. I believe as we look at these men and women, we will be inspired and challenged by growing in our own faith through the study of the principles they used. We will make our lives more effective and more fruitful. One of the things that these men and women had in common was that they were torchbearers of faith in their generation. The scripture says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Do you believe that? It says that we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. Not just those who seek him, those who diligently seek him. Those who pursue him with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength, as we say in the Shema every week. But it's not just a prayer. It's to be a living reality in our hearts. Not just something we say and move on from, but something that we live out every day. The first person we'll be looking at is Noach. Because we're so familiar with Noach's story and the events of the flood, we rarely stop to think about the magnitude of this man's life and faith. Noach was used virtually single-handedly to preserve mankind. How's that for a man of faith? Single-handedly used to preserve humankind. Not bad. That's a good place for us to start our adventure. The Brit Chadashah says of Noach, "Noach was another who trusted God. When he heard God's warning about the future, Noach believed him, even though there was then no sign of flood. And wasting no time, he built the ark and saved his family. Noach's belief in God was in direct contrast to the sin and disbelief of the rest of the world, which refused to obey. And because of his faith, he became one of those whom God has accepted." You see, Noach believed despite the unbelieving generation in which he lived. I don't know if you've looked out across the world lately. There's not many people who believe in the God that we serve, the God of Israel, the living God and his Mashiach. We can learn a lot from this hero of faith, and let's start by looking at the scriptures to glean from his life. It says in Bereshit chapter 6, in verses 8 and 9, it says, "But Noach found grace in the sight of Adonai." Here is the history of Noach in his generation. Noah was a man righteous and wholehearted. Noah walked with God. I'm going to talk about five principles from Noah's life. Five reasons why he is truly a hero of faith. And the first one is that Noah was righteous. He was a tzaddik. He was a righteous one. And not righteous in his own eyes, he was called righteous by God. In Bereshit 6, verse 11, it says, "The earth was corrupt before God." Does that sound familiar? "The earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence." And that Hebrew word is chamas. Interesting, right? "The earth was filled with violence. God saw the earth, and yes, it was corrupt. For all living beings," say all, "had corrupted their ways on the earth." What a statement. All living beings were corrupted, says the Lord. And in the midst of evil and moral corruption, Noah was deemed righteous and sought the Lord wholeheartedly, or some translated blameless. Noah was blameless before God. Righteous and blameless, that's a good combination. These are the cardinal terms of biblical Hebrew. Tzaddik and tamim. The term tzaddik describes one whose conduct is found to be beyond reproach by the divine judge, by God himself. Isn't that something? As applied to human beings, because it is mostly used for the condition of the sacrificial animals, tamim acquired a moral dimension connoting unblemished by moral fault, hence a person of unimpeachable integrity. That's who Noah was, a man of unimpeachable integrity and beyond reproach. Now we're starting to see, right, why Noah was a hero. It started in Noah's heart and his posture before God. Noah wasn't fooling around. Even though the world around him was bidding him to do evil, Noah wholeheartedly pursued Adonai. Such an individual enjoys God's fellowship and God's nearness. You know, religion is fine because religion gives us a skeleton, a framework in which we can practice our faith. But religion must lead to a relationship with God. All the ancients had a living relationship with the Creator. All the patriarchs, a living relationship with God. The Nevi'im, a relationship with God. Certainly the Shaliach of Yeshua, a relationship. Noah standing before God was like no other human being on the face of the earth. He was it. How's that for a hero? How's that for someone to emulate? When's the last time you went before God and say, "God, I want unimpeachable integrity before you. God, I want to be beyond reproach in everything I say with my mouth and think in my mind. I want to be beyond reproach." You know, it's easy to fake it on the outside, isn't it? We could all fake worship, but you can't fake your heart. You can't fake your thoughts. God, that's what God looks on. Remember with David, as he was in search for a king in Israel, Shmuel said that man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. You see, it is Noach's right standing before God that paved the way for mankind to continue and live another day. In the Jewish Publication Society Torah commentary on Genesis, it says, Noach walked with God. The regular formula is he lived. And it's replaced by a description of how he lived. He lived by walking with God. The idiom is used again only of Noach in 6:9 and in a slightly varied form of the ideal priest in Malachi 2:6. It is expressive, listen to this, of a life spent in full accord with God's will and in closest intimacy with him. That he walked with God. It's indicative that he lived in full accordance of God's will and in the deepest intimacy with God. Noach is a hero. For starters, because of his heart. Noach had a living relationship with Elohim, and it was his connection to God that not only saved him and his family, but humankind. If you want to be a hero, and maybe you do, I hope you do. If you want to be a hero in this generation, start with being like Noach, righteous before God. The scripture says that we are the righteousness of God in Messiah. So if we are in Messiah, then we should walk like Messiah walked and live like Messiah lived and talk like Messiah talked and thought the thoughts that he thought. When you know that God loves you, it is easy to want to follow Messiah and follow in his footsteps and live righteously. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. We talked about that Wednesday night. In what condition was the world when he sent Mashiach? Was the world so in love with God, so enthralled with God? Was the world crying out for God and aching and longing for God? No. The scripture says that when we were at enmity with God, at war with God, he loved us, and he came for us. We see this here again in Noah's life. How is the world? Not so great, but God is not coming. He's coming to save the one, and his family whose heart is turned toward him. So we need to live righteously. Secondly, the next thing we can learn from our hero Noach. What a hero. Some of us could barely live righteously in the community of faith, let alone to live righteously amongst a wicked and perverse generation. The next thing we can learn from our hero Noach is that Noach obeyed. Say, I will obey. Noach, hear this, was a sprite 500 years old. Guys, don't complain about your aches and your pains. I know you have some joint pain, right? How old are you? 70, 80, you're a puppy. 70 or 80, you're brand new. Noach, 500 years old. I always tease, you know, I wonder what the teenage years are when you live that long. You're like 200 to 300 or how does that work? Noach was 500 years old when God spoke to him to build an ark. What? And he told him to build an ark with no evidence that a seagoing craft was even necessary. Why does Noach obey God? Why? It seems illogical, because I know we all need to understand it before we can do it, right? Well, God has to come down and spell it out for us, because if we don't understand it with our finite mind, how could we obey, right? You see, that's how we think, but that's not how men and heroes of faith think. They obey even when it makes no logical sense, to build an ark when it's never rained before. He obeys God not because he reasoned it out in his mind and came to conclude that, yes, God, I can understand why you want me to build a massive seagoing craft. Makes sense. It must be because all of the rain we have been getting lately. Oh, that's right. There was no rain in Noach's day. Oh, that's right. It makes no logical sense. But Noach obeyed anyway because he trusted God. Yes, Noach had faith in God that what he was instructing him to do was worthy of his wholehearted obedience. When the Lord commanded him, here in Bereshit 6 and 22, when the Lord commanded him to build the ark, collect the animals and to gather provisions for himself, his family and the animals, the scriptures say, look what it says, and Noach did everything, say everything, as God commanded him. Isn't that something? Noach did everything as God commanded him. Every time we obey God's commandments, we find protection and blessings, okay, from God, just like Noach did when we obey. When Noach first set out to be obedient, he had no idea of the big picture. He just started to follow one instruction at a time until finally the ark was built and filled. He owed because he knew how God, the God he was following, not because he knew where it was going. He followed not because he knew where it was going, but because he trusted God. See, a lot of us want to know where God's taking us. We want to know what's around the bend. And if God, you don't show me what's around the bend, I'm going to just stay put. That's not Noach. Noach said, I'm going to go and start building the ark, regardless that I don't know what the ends is. I'm going to do it anyway. You see, Oswald Chambers says, beware of reasoning about God's word. Obey it. Don't reason about God's word. Just obey it. Noach did not partially obey, or he didn't obey only the instructions he enjoyed. It says he fully obeyed. Say fully obeyed. Noach did everything as God commanded him. Let's say Noach loved working with his hands and building, but wasn't really keen on animals. That would be like me. God, I'll help you with the ark, but the animal part maybe not so much. If Noach was a modern believer, he might have said, God would never ask me to work with animals because he knows how much I dislike working with animals. If Noach was a modern believer, he might have said, God would never ask me to work with animals. He knows how much I dislike it. Noach's obedience was total and complete compliance to the will of God. If we want to impact our generation, we need to do the same. You know, it's possible that God might ask you to do some things that aren't your favorite things to do. But if you want to be a hero in your generation, maybe we should think about obeying God. Noach's obedience was not influenced by society, nor the naysayers. They were doubting him, mocking him for his foolishness. It looks foolish. Building an ark, it doesn't rain. What's wrong with you, Noach? There's got to be something wrong with this guy. Do you see this guy? He's building this massive, do you know how big the ark is? It is absolutely massive. What is he out of? It's bananas. You see this guy? He's off his rocker. Yet day in and day out, Noach obeyed. Rather, he obeyed in the face of political correctness of his day. He did it anyway. Not only did Noah obey, Noah worked. Say worked. We don't like to work, right? Closely related to obedience, but with a slightly different but important nuance, is that faith without works is dead. Say that with me. Faith without works is dead. Or faith without works is no faith at all. That's what the scriptures say. Noah did not rely on his right standing before God, nor did he excuse inactivity, because after all, how could God expect him to build this massive thing with just him and a few people? God, I can't do it. This is too big for me. I can't get out there. After all, God, I'm 500 years old. You surely don't expect me to go out and build an ark, gather animals and food to feed them. God must understand that he has to bring in a crew of angels to come and get this thing built, because after all, I can't do it. I'm not gifted like that. I'm a thinker. I'm a studier of Torah. Not a worker or a builder. He can't possibly expect us to build this thing. But Noah loved and he served God, but that wasn't enough. God was asking him to go out, roll up your sleeves, and get building. This is from Yaakov chapter 2. Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere? Look, I love this translation. Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? That's what we do, don't we? We know all the right words, all the right prayers, all the right scriptures. But Yaakov is asking us something. Do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good, you take care of the faith department and I'll handle the works department. Not so fast. You can no more show me your works or good deeds apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works. Works and faith. They fit together hand in glove. Faith and working. Working and faith. It's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. It is not evident that a person is made right with God, not by barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works. In other words, if we really have faith, it'll be seen by our actions. It'll be seeing that we do the works of God in obedience. We're not just going to sit around in our rooms and pray and seek, you know, because a lot of the modern body, the Kehillah, thinks we could just pray and worship, and God does everything else. It just happens mysteriously. No, it happens as we get up and work. Say, God, I want to work. Ooh, God, I want to work. That was a little better. Say it one more time. Maybe you talk yourself into it. God, I want to work. There's power of life and death in the tongue, right? You see, the very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse. Dr. Menachem Kellner, in an article on faith, Emunah, says this, Emunah is more than belief that certain statements about God are true. It is belief in God, trust and reliance upon God, all of which call forth behavior or actions consistent with that stance of trust and reliance. What is he saying? Faith means that your behavior, your actions are going to be consistent with what you say and believe. That's why Noach's a hero. Because I'll tell you what, it was obviously rare in his day, one person. Can I tell you something? It's still rare in our day. And thus, Yaakov is writing about it. Noach's faith was demonstrated by his hard work and diligence to accomplish all that God commanded him to do. Noach's faith was demonstrated by his work. And the same is true for us. Noach built the ark. Do you know how long it took the ark to be built? Anywhere between 100 and 120 years. That's some hard work, ain't it? The next time you feel weary in living out your faith, remember Noach and determine that you will not be outworked by a 600-year-old. Say, God, I'm not going to be outworked by a 600-year-old who is still building at 600 years old. I know you're tired. What are you, 50? I know you're exhausted. You're 70, you're 80. When we work for God, he'll fill us with strength. It's all throughout the Torah, the Tanakh. When we work for God, when we work for ourselves, we'll grow weary. When we work for God, he will endue us with strength. 4, Noach trusted God. How many of you know that faith requires risk? Some level of risk. Faith. Right? If I tell my kid, jump and I'll catch you. You ever do that as a kid? Your father or so say, come on, jump. I'll catch you. Come on, even though you trust dad, don't you think to yourself, I don't know, has dad been eating his Wheaties? I don't know, could dad take my weight and the force? You get a little nervous. But you jump because overwhelmingly you trust dad and you jump and dad catches you. But it still required some risk. Bereshit 7 and 13. On that same day, Noach entered the ark with Shem, Ham, and Yefet, the sons of Noach. Noach's wife and the three wives of his sons accompanied them. They and every animal of every species, all the livestock of every species, every animal that creeps on the ground of every species, and every bird of every species, all sorts of winged creatures, they went to Noach in the ark, couples from every kind of living thing that breathes. Those that entered went in, male and female, from every kind of living being, as God had ordered him. And look what it says, and Adonai shut him inside. Do you know that there's other flood accounts throughout Mesopotamia? And probably the most common and well-known is the Gilgamesh story. But in all those stories, those men had to close themselves in a boat that they would navigate during the flood. This is a unique story because, first of all, it says God shuts them in. But it's also unique that the word, the Hebrew word for ark is teveh. And it's used one other place. Could anyone guess where it's used? It's used in the craft that housed Moshe. A little rectangular box. Teveh. But know what's interesting about teveh? Has no rudder. No sails. It is completely dependent upon the wind and the wave, completely dependent upon God to get it to its destination safely without the input of man. All the other stories about the flood, these men hoisted sails and wrestled with the wind. They did it. But in the true story, God did it. It takes a lot of faith to get into a massive ship loaded down with an untold amount of weight. With the deluges of heaven flooding down and the earth opening up and fountains coming forth from the sea, and the only recourse you have is to trust God. Not himself, not his strength, not his wisdom, not his talent, God. How well do you trust God? I asked the men at our men's thing a week ago, how well do you believe God? How much of the word of God do you believe? It's a valid question. Believe all of it, some of it, just the natural stuff, none of the supernatural, a little mix. God is asking you to believe it all. After all, he calls us what? Do you know what he calls us? What do you call yourself? A believer. Right? Don't you call yourself a believer? That means you believe. That means you trust. That means when God says, get in the ark and closes the door, that I believe you, God, that you're going to get me to safety. We have no doubt or even used the phrase, let go and let God, right? We've all heard that, let go and let God. Well, never was a true word spoken than here in the life of Noah. Shut the door, God, let go and let it rip. Think about that weight, that massive flood, and what it must have been like on that ark. But yet they trusted God. He trusted in God's mercy and God's compassion. He trusted in the God that he was intimate with. He trusted that the God that spoke to him to build it would see him through to the end. It sounds familiar that he who began the good work in you, right, will bring it to completion in Messiah Yeshua. Some of you are in your journey, you're on the ark, but you're not sure if God is going to complete the work that he started. You think God left you. He forgot you. You're only at the 6-month mark. And there ain't no sign of land. And God wants you to know that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Do you trust him like Noah trusted him? Do you have faith in him like Noah had faith in him? Are you intimate with God the way Noah is intimate with God? Listen to this quote by Theodore Roosevelt. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how this strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotion, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows that in the end triumph, knows the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Faith requires a risk. It's easy to sit back. Faith means that you're going to step out. We all get on Kepha because he sank when he walked on the water. But everyone else stayed in the boat. Come on, you can't tell me that wasn't scary. He was a fisherman. He knows. I mean, they were straining for 9 hours against the wind. This was a rough storm. To get out of the boat is suicide. He got out. He took a risk and trusted God. It's really not a risk, but in our humanity, it is. Noach's trust in God enabled him to take what appeared to be a tremendous risk, but Noach's trust was wisely in the God that he had come to know, love, and serve. That risk turned out to save Noah, his entire family, and the human race. Who knows what will happen the next time you take a risk and decide to trust in God. Lastly, what we learn from this hero of faith is that Noah worshipped. These are characteristics of a hero. God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that you have with you, birds, livestock, and every animal that creeps on the earth so that they could swarm on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply on the earth. That's what he says, right? Noah, okay, comes out, and what's the first thing Noah does? Not instructed by God, but he does it on his own volition. Noah built an altar to Adonai. And then he took from every clean animal and every clean bird and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. He worshiped God. Adonai smelled the sweet aroma, and Adonai said in his heart, I will never curse the ground because of humankind. What Noah did, his worship, was a hero that God decided because of that act of worship. It says that he smelt the aroma of the worship. And he said, you know what? Because of this man, I will never do it again. That's a hero, my friend. Because of Noah, God gave the rainbow to remind him that even though man is wicked beyond measure, I will never do that again. Thank you, Noah. You didn't think you could be a hero by worshiping God, did you? The telltale sign of a hero of faith is always seen in their desire and ability to worship. Remember that when Yeshua healed the 10 lepers? Remember that? One came back. What was his first immediate question? Where are the other 9? Weren't they healed? How come you're the only one that's worshiping me? Weren't every one of you healed? Where's the worship? How many people cry out to God in the day of disaster? Maybe you've done it. I have. They plea and bargain with God. God, get me through this. God, if you get me through this, I will totally and completely give myself to you. And then miraculously, the disaster abates. And instead of doing what we vowed before God, all of a sudden we're found back to our old routine. Back to business as usual. That wasn't Noah. After that flood receded, he could have said, "Woo! Hashem got me out of that one." He worships. Bring those clean animals. Let's get an altar built and worship Hashem. Let's give him praise and glory and honor. Let's bless him, the creator of the universe, whom saved me and my family, who delivered me and saved humankind. Let me bless him and honor him. We should follow in Noah's footsteps and do the same. Say this with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Who pardons all iniquities, heals all disease, redeems my life from destruction, crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies my mouth with good things, and renews my youth like the eagles. Those are some pretty pretty good benefits, aren't they? In closing, the world we live in is similar to the days of Noah. They are. Friends, if you don't cry out for the tens and thousands of babies that are aborted, the Word of God says, I knew you in the womb, called you. And yet men, evil men, rip that out of a woman's body. That's evil. Make no mistake, we live in evil days. And God is looking for people who will live righteously, obediently, who combine their faith with their actions. He's looking for people who will trust Him even if they have to take a few risks. And lastly, He's looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. Let us live our lives with the same faith that Noah did, and let us impact our generation like he impacted his. Noah was a bona fide hero, the savior of humankind. And you know what? What does Yeshua call us to be? Fisher of men. To do what? Save humankind. Let's stand to our feet. Stretch forth your hand. Yivrachach Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yorer Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisar Adonai panav elecha. Shalom. May Adonai bless you and keep you. May Adonai make his face shine upon you and show you his favor. May Adonai lift up his face toward you and give you peace. Father, I pray that the richest blessings of heaven would be upon your people. Father, for those that are sick and infirmed in their bodies, that you would bring healing and health. Lord, that those who are weary from the fight of faith, that you would uplift them and encourage them. Lord, those who are discouraged and downtrodden, Lord, that you would give them hope. Father, that those who, Lord, are weak and weary, God, that they would be infused with new strength and fervor. Father, we ask it all in Yeshua's mighty name. And God's people said, Amen. Shabbat shalom.